Well, Annie F. Downs is down with wine. I'll tell you that. She is into it. So
Annie F. Downs is a wino. Is Annie F. Downs like too down with wine? Is that what you're saying?
Wine is in the Bible. She would be supportive of that, right?
I'm just asking. I'm cleaning up for Annie.
I don't know her as a wino. I just know that she was all capsing me about the show. And I was like, I'm going to have to watch the pilot to see if it's good.
So the big takeaway is we don't know if Annie F. Downs is not
Annie,
a
can you let us know? We don't will know. Post your statement in stories if you want to make a statement on whether you are a wino.
To be continued. We'll check back in with you guys.
That's right.
Yeah. Not next week because we don't have an episode. So it could be a few weeks until we crack this case.
If you become a wino, you may need to update the statement because we will not be posting it till mid-September.
Hello and welcome to episode 520 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on the things that entertain but do not matter.
If you'd like to find out more about these didactic pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast, and we're still on Twitter at Popcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking the Smooch, Marys, and Kills of September.
But before we do that, as you can tell by the passing of time, this is our last episode in our birthday month. Thank you so much for celebrating 10 years of the podcast with us. But don't fret, we're just like the girl you went to high school with named Negan, no letter A, who drove a Mazda Miata and had a cool mom who let her have a toy dog and some amphetamines, who could celebrate her 16th birthday for what felt like months. So September is when we're going to have even more birthday parties. And the first one is this Saturday in Austin, Texas, at Austin City Limits Live at the Moody Theater. Almost 1,500 seats are gone, but if you still want to be in the room where it happens, we can scoot you in. More importantly, no matter what your plans are, you can snag the live stream to watch live, an indie made-up party guide, or you can save it and watch it any day of the next week, take a long lunch, sub this in for your book club, or cancel family plans because you're sick. Okay, our live stream ticket price goes up at end of day on Friday. And because you're listening, you can use code FARTDADDY to save some cash. Head to knoxandjamie.com/live for all the details. The link is in the show notes.
Jamie, I've got a question before we move on. I got to understand this live stream thing. So like if I'm at home and I'm like, I might be interested in that, but I'm not interested in one of those, you know, like sometimes the church does a live stream and they set the camera in the nosebleeds.
Are you talking about Facebook Live? Or are you talking about Facebook Live?
No comment. I don't know. But it's like there's no energy or no vibe or atmosphere to it. Is that what this is going to be? Just like you and I on a stage from a mile away? Is that what we're thinking about?
No, that's not. We're not making Indy just hold up her iPhone 4 in the back of this theater. We actually have a whole camera crew that comes. It's actually pretty magical because what we're showing, there's a whole visual element to our live show, which we keep saying we're going to call back, and then we now have 700.
I know. I meant to Vox you this weekend and say, hey, I specifically said no, less visual, and here I am doing more visual.
The call is coming from inside the house.
You're right.
But the beauty is they actually are showing the screen. There are parts in the show where we talk directly to the live stream, which I know has already made Knox really nervous.
Oh, I love it.
It's really a pretty magical time, and there's a wonderful chat. That's where all the power play is. Our beloved Madison is going to be hosting the live stream, so you'll have someone that's going to be taking care of you and doting on you. And so it's actually, I promise it's worth it. It is there's already 1,000 people who have already bought tickets to the live stream, so I highly recommend that you do it.
It's my favorite because if you go to the live stream for nothing else, you're going to get to see pictures of us at 10 years old. And Jamie and I are 10 years old. Looks a lot different than Aaron's. Aaron sent us a picture and it was like, is this like the best picture that's ever been taken by a 10-year-old ever? Meanwhile, you and I look like,
we had a different tooth situation than Aaron had. I don't know why her Texas teeth were so much better than our Tennessee, Alabama teeth. Or maybe the answer is right there, isn't it? Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But yeah, just to encourage people, like there's production value. You're going to see what's on the screen as well as us. There's the camera's going to move around a little bit. So it's not just a from 1 mile away stationary camera. It's actually like really good stuff. So
it's great.
If you know you can't go or you know you can't come and hang out with us, I think it's a really great option for an incredibly really great price. So.
No, I agree.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Jamie, we are here the week of our live show, but we're still here creating content and we're still here recording an episode. What's like, where's your headspace? Like, what's your energy level? Like, what's the vibe? You told me you got 4 hours of sleep last night.
Is
that like good or is that bad?
Well, listen, I went to sleep at 3:56 a.m. and that was after multiple pills that I like asked, hey, could you do something? Because I need to go to sleep. But I then moved my alarm and my Fitbit still said my sleep was fair, not poor. So I'm feeling great. I'm very caffeinated. I'm very excited. I'm very stressed. I feel the stress, but it's because it's the striving for excellence. That's what I'm stressed about.
That's what
you
it
know,
is.
I want my shoes to fit. I want my nails to get painted. There's just a lot to do.
Are you worried that your shoes won't fit? Is that a real, like, is that a thing that might happen?
No, they will fit, but like I maybe walked too many steps on Saturday. I might have gotten some foot blisters, and now I'm going to have to deal with that for the next 4 days. It's complicated.
Sure.
It's complicated. Yeah.
So there's a whole party going on there for you. So, but I just want people to hear that. You know, we're still here doing the work. We're still here, like, laying down the.
We're still for the people who can't be at the live show and who can't. Maybe you live in another country. You know, the live stream works in all the countries.
It does. So that's true. It does.
You could still attend, you know?
But I think it's important to tell people we're here doing the work this week. Because maybe we won't next week, but that's okay too. You know, that's okay that we're not going to be.
That's okay. So we are not going to have a new episode the first week of September. We are going to take a week off. It's not just for me and Knox. It's also for our staff. Like
that's
we have a holiday. You know, we've been in a drought. We get a holiday now. And so we're going to make sure that we take the week off. However, we do have some fun things. Again, a live show would be a lovely listen. That's 2 hours right there that you could just listen to if you signed up for the live stream. And next week we have a pilot program episode coming out for BFITS on The OC.
Oh yeah. And it's a good one. And hey, just credit to you. I like that you threw in, we're not going to be here next week. There's a drought as well. You know, I don't know how that's relevant to us recording,
but
like throwing in things.
A holiday drought. We haven't had a holiday in 8 weeks.
No, I just mean like there, but there's a water drought too. Like my yard looks like trash right now. It's so crispy, guys. I can't get any.
Yeah, I wonder why mine was getting patchy. I do have a sprinkler system that I didn't know about, but it's in the murder basement, so I cannot go down there and turn it on. So that's not my problem. That's not any of my business. I'll tell you that sprinkler is not any of my business.
Yeah, just note for the audio, the elation in Jason's face when he heard you had a sprinkler system on your property.
It's called a bird something. It's like bird, like, oh, it's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's top of the line, baby. So we are, like we mentioned, we're going to do Smooch, Marry, Kill for September. I was a little worried given the strike, how this is going to play out. We talk about some of the things that got delayed in The More You Know this week. But luckily in September, is it the greatest menu of entrees we've ever had? Probably not, but that's what this episode's for. We're going to help guide you into how to navigate. And really this is about, you know, we've done our preview episodes, but those are so concentrated on TV or on movies that we don't really get to talk about like the holistic aspect of pop culture month to month, which is what this is going to be. So we're going to use these to help guide you on what content they should either smooch, marry, or kill. Now, if you're new or you just don't pay attention well, that's okay. Smooch means we think this is something you should give a shot. Marry means something we think you should commit some time to. And kill doesn't mean literally kill. It means that you should just avoid or abandon your interest in a certain idea, activity, or project. So, Jamie, understanding all that, before we get into specifics, what's your general vibe on like the month of September?
You know, I have always placed September in a mid-tier. It's a mid-tier month. Here's why. Because I think September is truly the month that best represents the divide in America.
Okay.
And here's why. Alabama, mid-90s. South Carolina, high 90s. Oklahoma, high 90s. Michigan, high 70s. How dare you rub in your beautiful fall weather. I mean, listen, and the problem is the calendar DGAF. If you want to, if you, it wants you to force your hand and be like, hey, pumpkin spice latte came out in August. Aren't you going to drink it?
It's too soon.
It's too soon. Leaves, they're going to start changing in New England later in September. You know what? The leaves here, they never change. They just take their own lives in the middle of humid Halloween. They just are not even interested. And I think it's also a tough transition. I think September is tough because it's that transition. Remember how all of you parents in early June were like, oh my God, optimism, joy. We're going to take vacations. We have only 7 summers left.
Stop. You can't do that.
I know. And now it's turned to, for the love of God, please go to school. Your teacher's your mom now. I can't deal with your questions anymore.
No, like, listen, September, we're in school now, right? Now we're figuring out the sports, but I will say red alert, red light early in the episode. I got a lice notice. We got like email, hey, somebody already in the grade got the lice. And I was like, this is too early. If climate change isn't going to do anything for us, at least it should take out the lice. You know, I don't understand why I'm getting that alert already. So
God, you got lice, you got COVID, like an uptick in COVID. Like you parents are in it. Erin had talked to me about, she had to make 17 posters for something just to attend a volleyball game. I just don't understand what you two parents are going through.
You know what it is? It's the meetings. It's the academic meetings. It's the chaperone meetings. It's the future field trip meetings. It's the athletic meetings. It's all the meetings that all of them could be at one Voxer message, 1 minute flat. That's what I would like. I would like to put my name on the ballot for president next year. And I'm going to outlaw all meetings and make them all just 1 minute Voxer messages. And I think we'd be fine on that.
Well, but listen, I will say we get the holiday drought is over. The drought I talked about earlier.
Also drought water droughts. Those are right. Normal too. Mm-hmm.
Canadians even celebrate Labor Day, but with a U. This is very exciting.
Okay.
We get Rosh Hashanah. We get Yom Kippur. We get a less holy grandparents day. We obviously get Anne of Green Gables Eve.
Yeah.
Where on September 30th, you leave out milk and cookies, and it brings out all of the people who like to say that quote about October.
That's right. Yeah, that's all the ginger favorite October lovers.
They wait a year.
It's like Passover.
Also, did you know that in September, it's the top 10 birthdays in America are in September? Like the birthdays that are shared by the most people?
That, like, the most cool people, like you said, top 10 birthdays. Like, so the top 10 coolest people have all their birthdays in September?
Like, the most people in America were born on September 9th.
Like, really? Is that true?
That's true.
That's just
according
like
to the CDC and the Social Security Administration, the top 10 birthdays in America are September. But weirdly, top 10 birthdays in September, top birthday month, August.
Okay.
I don't understand that of that. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
But that's too many Virgos. I'm going to be honest. That's too much Virgo.
Sorry. Make a note. Yep.
Because listen, Virgos are
I want to understand you. Do you do this for the art of it? Do you do this for like our, like just Jason, Erin, and myself? Because you know no one's going to hear this, right?
No,
well, actually, you don't listen back to the episodes. You really don't know, like,
I don't know.
Do they actually hear some of it? They don't.
I think the audience knows that my heart somewhere in that clown music is me trying to educate people. That's what I think.
Your astrology loving heart is just trying hard to educate
Guess what?
People.
If you watch the live stream, she gonna make it in because there's no edit in the live show.
That is actually true.
How do you feel about September?
I mean, you know, my oldest daughter is born September. It's a great time to have like a birthday, you know, so I'm a little jealous of that.
Yeah.
Look, football's back. So September's a winter for me. You know,
true.
College is already back. It's really back in full force this weekend. And then the NFL starts like the, you know, first half week of September. So I'm all in.
But are we not baseball focused right now? That's where all my TikToks are coming. They're all the highlights of like, look, he got hit in the head with this ball. And look at this shortstop be hot and sexy when he throws this really fast.
That doesn't feel baseball focused. That feels like gore and sexy focus, you know? I just don't think anybody's baseball focused right now. I think like baseball is a background activity for people to look at gory, sexy things probably.
That's fine. Well, that's what I'm doing. So, okay.
Yeah. So we obviously, if people follow us on social, they know we do this on Instagram every Friday. And by we, I mean, Jamie puts together a Smooch, Marry, Kill for the things to look out for / avoid for your weekend. And I've always thought it's a very helpful primer going into the weekend.
I know. I like it because sometimes it's current stuff that's out. Like we give you, they're not green or red lights. They're just recs based on critic reviews or audience reviews and general internet chatter. And sometimes they're themed. And this week on Friday, if you follow us on Instagram at the podcast, this week is themed and it's the 43 best movies set in Texas. And where to watch them. And did you know there are some amazing films set in Texas? Like,
I believe
truly.
That.
But there's also Matt Damon and all the pretty horses, which is
you didn't like all the pretty horses.
Listen, Matt Damon, you know, Matthew McConaughey and Matt Damon show up in a lot of Texas movies.
Yes, they do.
I don't understand why Matt Damon does though. Damon's
got that cowboy smush face kind of look, so I get it. Like a Texas
punk. Well, and Aaron's favorite. Aaron, what's your favorite Texas movie of all time?
Lonesome Dove.
Yeah. And so it is the second highest rated movie of all time set in Texas.
It's technically not a movie.
I mean, it's like a mini movie.
It's a mini series.
Listen, I tried to honor you by including it.
Thank you.
It's certainly not even a TV show. It's really nothing you said was true, Jamie, in the most respectful way possible is what I'm saying.
But if you put all the things together, it's just a long movie. If you just watch it back to back, it's a long movie.
Point
I don't
made.
Understand why. Yeah. Like when you, that's how all TV shows are movies.
I think
if you watch them a certain way.
Yeah. You're one of those pretentious directors who was like, I like to think of Suits as a 480 hour movie, you know?
Longest movie. You're going to have to take an intermission. You're going to take a break. But like No Country for Old Men, Office Space. I always forget that is set in Austin.
Yeah, it's got a very Texas vibe to it, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of great movies. So that is what we're doing on Friday. So make sure you're following so you can see all the... And then there's also Miss Congeniality, which is not rated as high as other things.
Do you think Matt Damon goes to Texas almost as a way to lift his leg a little bit on Texas and be like, Matthew McConaughey, I can come into your neck of the woods and do this, and people like True Grit are cool with it. Can you come to Boston and fight with me on my turf? I don't think you can, my guy.
He could not. Oh, that's right. No, he should do that. He should just always take a connecting flight to Dallas and just wander around the airport, get some duty free, and be like, yeah, exactly. I'm here. I can stay here. Yeah.
That's right. That's a strategy. Okay, so we're going to get into our categories here, and we're going to start off with our smooch. Again, this is something we think you should give a shot. Jamie, what's your first smooch of September?
Okay, so normally when I do smooches, I would recommend a movie here, but because of the strike, I'm pretty sure September is down to My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 and Expendables 4, which is not Expendables 4, by the way. They have placed the 4 in place of the letter A in the word. So it's Expendables.
The King's English would pronounce it the Expendables. So,
okay, got it.
That's right. Jason and I discussed that at length. So if they want to hit that broken down, they can listen to a recent Over/Under episode.
Okay, good. So I'm actually going to recommend some music because we actually do have some fun albums that are coming out. One allegedly, and then a few that I know that are coming out. So the allegedly is Drake. Drake has been releasing this album every week since April. And so he recently just posted and he said, hey, I know everybody's upset because I didn't drop my album last night. But I didn't say it was dropping last night. So don't be mad at me. I just said it was coming soon. And so I'm really want, it's called For All the Dogs. And I'm very excited because it's got Nicki Minaj. It's got Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny. That's very hot. That's very hot. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, but we are getting Olivia Rodrigo. Her new album Guts comes out September 8th. If you're a teen girl at heart, like I am, then she is back to collect all our angst. And I'm very excited to do that offering to her. We also get a new album from a beloved of yours that is a new beloved of mine, Tyler Childers. He has Resting in the Rain coming September 8th. And then, listen, throwback. Guess who has a new album? Explosions in the Sky.
That's right, dog. What's up?
Aaron Gast. That's a perfect, like, if you have ever had a Friday Night Lights, like, you just want to listen to that music all day long. They have a new album called End that's coming out. And then we made a playlist for our live show, which is our 10-year birthday playlist. And it's all of the best songs from various genres from 2013. And I'm very proud of that playlist. It's very fun. So you can follow us at the Popcast on Spotify and see all our fun playlists from the past. So
good music stuff happening. Really good music stuff happening.
Okay, what's
May
your
or may not be one of my green lights this week. We'll talk about some more music. I did actually take the bait and do a movie.
I want to hear. I'm ready.
Now listen, and some of these are... I'm playing fast and loose because I've seen some places where it's like this movie comes out in September. Some places it's like October 6th. There's this whole, I spent like an hour on Self-Reliance, this Jake Johnson, Anna Kendrick movie. And they're like, it's September, it's October, it's March. So I'm like, I don't know, guys, you figure it out later. I can't find a trailer anywhere, but I am going to pick Dumb Money. And I think that might be finessed into October, but like we're all big boys and big girls. We can figure
it out. Yeah, we understand. Yeah, we understand.
Right. So this is the movie based on the GameStop stock market short squeeze that targeted Wall Street and institutional market traders a couple of years ago. This is the one that the guy who wrote The Social Network, which was later turned into the Aaron Sorkin movie. I don't even think he had like a loose one sheet outline. And he sold the book proposal and the movie rights just based off that, because Stop everyone was it. Like, this is what? Probably going to be great. And the casting, I was very hopeful. The trailer's out. It really centers around Paul Dano, or Dano, however you want to pronounce it. But you've got Shailene Woodley, America Ferrara, Seth Rogen, Bucky Barnes, Pete Davidson, Nick Offerman, Anthony Ramos, and Mahala Harold from Industry. It looks like, it's weird to see Seth Rogen as like a Wall Street trader marketer guy. Like, that was off-putting, as well as Nick Offerman kind of being a hedge fund manager. But I think this is gonna be it feels a little bit of The Big Short. Kind of feels The Big Short.
Oh, I like that.
It's one of these recent historical movies trying to help you understand something. I don't know if it's going to be quite as preachy as maybe The Big Short, or probably as Gilded, but I think this is going to be an entertaining movie, and I'm excited to see
Are you concerned at all that there is only really 1.5 hot people in this? Are you nervous about that?
Who are we counting, just so I understand?
So Sebastian Stan, I would say, is hot.
Bucky Barnes is hot.
Anthony Ramos was hot until he cheated on Jasmine Cephas-Jones. Okay. So he is less hot. So he gets a half because he cheated on her.
I would counter with Mahala Harold is hot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Okay.
I'm a big fan of Shailene Woodley's work, to be honest with you. I really am.
Oh, yeah. But she, you know, that if we met her in real life, it would just be overwhelming patchouli. It would just be like, oh, girl. Oh, you're using native patchouli and a roll-on patchouli? That's too
Guess
much
what?
Patchouli.
I've got bad allergies and chronic sinusitis, so I wouldn't even smell it. So it's a match.
Wow, are you trying to throw out a thirst trap to our listeners?
I'm not trying to flex on people right now, but just kind of is what it is. Yeah, like, I think the Pete Davidson playing Paul Dano's brother, I think, is perfect casting.
Oh, lovely.
And I love the utility of that. But I do think this was I remember when this happened, I think people knew something was happening, but they didn't quite understand how and why it was happening. So I'm hoping this movie tells that story a little bit with a little more clarity. But I just like all the people involved in this project.
I do too. That looks like, I love a good ensemble. That'll be fun.
I'm going to toss in, I'm going to do a daily double here, if that's okay. I've got a TV combo to go with Dumb Money. And this is Generation V. Or Gen V on Amazon Prime. It's basically the spinoff of The Boys universe.
Oh, okay.
And it's a spinoff of a comic. Jamie, you have not watched The Boys, is that right?
No, I have not. Because once you green light something, just behind the scenes, it has to come further down my list.
Listen, because that's why I still haven't watched Beef, you know?
Exactly,
I'm like,
right.
I'll get to it eventually, but I can't spend valuable time on it. Aaron, I'm going to ask a question I feel like I know the answer to.
Okay.
Have you watched The Boys?
The Boys?
Okay, thank you.
I guess based how she said it, she has not seen it.
No,
I don't know.
I
like the disdain she had for me for is it about asking you, or you just didn't know what this title was?
I wanted to make sure I heard you correctly.
Yeah, maybe it was like Du Bois.
Wait,
you know,
but what do
like
you think capital. If you didn't? Okay, so he said, have you watched The Boys? It is a TV show. Okay. What do you think The Boys is about?
I think The Boys is about an English boarding school where boys, they get up to shenanigans.
That's close.
I mean, you're not that wrong. It's not English, really. It's the boys are like a collection. I mean, it's not really the boys. The boys are the crime fighters kind of. There's a group of superheroes called the Seven. And they're superheroes with superpowers, but they actually like are the worst and horrible. It's kind of the counterbalance to Marvel and DC. So like the
it's
main
like a
guy,
satire too. It's a little
yeah,
but
satire is a better word. Homelander is like the bad inverse of Captain America, and he often lasers people with his eyes. And it's the most gory and graphic TV show that you could think of, especially in the superhero realm, which is they want to be the counterbalance to, you know, Marvel and DC. But Gen V is it's set in the same timeline of the show. It's like concurrent with the fourth season, but it focuses on kind of like the school. You know what, like it's Monsters Inc. And then it went Monsters University, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, here's what the school's like. It's like that, but except it's not flashing back. But it's basically the first generation of kids who know that their superheroes aren't natural, that they're from this compound V. So it gets a little murky.
So this is the boarding school that Aaron was talking about.
Yeah, basically. That's it's in America. Yeah. It's not English.
Well,
because
I was
kind
of right.
She was
right.
I mean, you were kind of dead on. You did miss
the
whole
superhero
aspect. Is she the
showrunner of Gen V? I think, you know, she might be.
But did Ben watch The Boys?
I don't know.
She doesn't really talk to Ben about
It's not that. It's just that our Venn diagrams in entertainment do not overlap.
It does seem like it would overlap with him in this style, but I don't know if he's into the gore aspect.
He doesn't. Well, he likes fantasy gore. like with orcs and elves.
Oh, okay.
This is not that. Yeah, no. There's no
or
fantasy
monsters
lore.
Or aliens.
Yeah, no monsters are aliens. I mean, the real monsters are the people, you know. I feel like we all know that.
Humans. That's usually true. That's true.
Aaron, like when you guys, because I feel like that's a really true thing you said. Like when Ashley and I are watching different things, we never talk about, like, I never have a conversation with, like, so here's what's happening in Platonic. It's just like, that doesn't exist to her. And then the stuff she watches, it doesn't exist to me. Do you guys like compare notes? Are you like, wow, this is this wild story arc or whatever?
No, the only thing that we really... because he doesn't watch Dance Moms. He just he likes to pretend to be some of the Dance Moms and some of the girls.
That's the best way to do it.
So he knows some of the lore because he needs to put that into his performance.
Into his performance. Right. Yes, absolutely.
Well,
he
really just attaching lore to Dance Moms is the most generous thing that's happened on the show.
Listen, it's a complicated dynamic.
There's really famous people who came out of Dance Moms.
I follow Christy. She's my favorite Dance Mom.
For the every listener or the flyover Karens, give me some of those famous people that we'd all know.
I don't know.
Christy, Kelly, Madison Beer. Maddie, okay. Kenzie. Madison's on Euphoria.
Okay.
Kenzie has a single.
Oh, Maddie Ziegler.
Yeah.
JoJo Siwa.
Oh, I didn't know Maddie Ziegler was on
JoJo.
Dance.
JoJo Siwa.
That's right.
Abby Lee Miller. Abby Lee went to prison.
She did. Mm. And she's killing it in social right now.
In prison? She's on social in prison?
No, she's out of prison.
No, she served her time. She did what she had to do.
Yeah, she's paid her debt to society. That's
right. Why can't prisoners be on social? Why can't that be like a right? Why can't that be a basic right? You know?
I think we're working basically on air conditioning and vaccines right now.
I think so.
I'm trying to flood the zone here with things they should get, okay? I'm not just fixating
on social.
No, I agree,
but I just don't know that we can start with that. We need basic health care and probably books. I don't know.
I mean, I think they get books. That's like Shawshank Redemption. You know, they read books a lot. That's how he gets
out. I don't know. I don't think Shawshank is an accurate representation of what's happening in
prisons. I don't think Stephen King had a finger on the pulse of prison life.
How dare both of you.
Did he write Shawshank?
He did write Shawshank. Isn't that crazy?
That's a short story.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Aaron's head's gonna explode when she realizes Stephen King is a writer on The Boys season 4.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's
no,
not
it's
true.
Not.
That is not true. That's not true. But wouldn't it be wild if it was?
It would be.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
Those were the smooches. Let's do Mary. I'll jump in here real quick because this is a fast one. It's just a TV show on Apple TV Plus, where I feel like Apple TV Plus, they have so many TV shows. And I'm like, I've never heard of this. I don't know if this is going to be good. I think in our last Smooch, Mary Kill, I said Hijack was going to be trash because at that point they had not released a trailer. And then they did like the next day, and that show was great. So, You know, who knows what's going on with Apple TV Plus. But this is The Changeling, and this is Lakey Stanfield, and I think her name's Clark Bacco. They play Emmy and Apollo, a couple who basically Emmy gets 3 wishes from a Brazilian witch, and she takes them, and then magical, horrific hijinks ensue. So love the premise, love the look of the trailer. When you see it, it's like almost if Beale Street Could Talk, but like phantasmagoric, and it's Lakey Stanfield. So I'm all in always for him, until he wins his Oscar. So, I couldn't be more excited to watch this TV show.
You know, Annie of Downs, friend of the show, she texted me and she was like, have you watched Drops of God on Apple?
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Is that a show? Is that an app?
What do you think Drops of God is about?
Okay. Well, I'm thinking first, I'm just going to clue you into my process. I'm thinking of Trained Drops of Jupiter, and that's a cool song. It's a fun song. Some would call it a great song. But I don't really know what that's about. So that's not really helpful. I would say it's like World War I era, heartache, and disabusing oneself of hope and optimism.
Okay, that is an excellent guess. It is set in the world of fine wines.
Okay.
A French man is the creator of Léger wine, and he has passed away at his home at 60. He leaves behind a daughter who hasn't seen her father.
Okay.
And then she flies to Tokyo, and she discovers he has left her the wine collection, and chaos ensues. Listen, this is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. 100.
Do you think it's because that premise alone will run off 99% of the human population, and the 1% of people who are interested in that, they're going to be predisposed to
love
that?
Well, Annie F. Downs is down with wine. I'll tell you that. She is into it. So
Annie F. Downs is a wino. Is Annie F. Downs like too down with wine? Is that what you're saying?
Wine is in the Bible. She would be supportive of that, right?
I'm just asking. I'm cleaning up for Annie.
I don't know her as a wino. I just know that she was all capsing me about the show, and I was like, I'm going to have to watch the pilot to see if it's good. And when I looked, I was like, well, this is 100%. That is Nicholas Kwah, who we know hates everything.
He does, including podcasting, which he started covering. Yeah.
Right. He loved this show. He was like, a cliche transforms into a classic.
Okay. So the big takeaway is we don't know if Annie F. Downs is not.
Annie,
a wino.
Can you let us know? We will post your statement in stories if you want to make a statement on whether you are a wino.
To be continued. We'll check back in with you guys.
That's right. Yeah.
Not next week because we don't have an episode. So it could be a few weeks until we crack this case.
If you become a wino, you may need to update the statement because we will not be posting it till mid-September.
Okay, Jamie, what is one of your Mary, or what's your Mary for September?
Okay, I have a perfect Mary, and it's kind of four books, but it's one series. So V.E. Schwab, who is an author I love, I have greenlit several of her books, including The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. It's a fantasy series, so Ben might be totally into it. But she has a series called Shades of Magic, and I greenlit that series that came out in like, came out years ago. So you can easily get it at the library. And it's about a young magician, Kel. It's set in London where there are four parallel Londons. We love a multiverse, which is red London, gray London, white London, and black London. And so there's a royal family, there's magicians, there's time travel, there's all kinds of chaos that happens in this series. And I love it. Well, V.E. Schwab has now done a new book in the series that's kind of fast forwarded many years. So that's why I recommend the first three books, because I do think it will help to understand the context of some of these players, knowing who they are descendants of. But the new book is The Fragile Threads of Power. It comes out September 26th. And it talks about magic growing too fast and the few magicians who could open the doors between these worlds, like where are they? What happened to them? What's happened in the last 7 years since the original series? And there's royal families that are different empires, and there's like sexiness involved. You know what I mean? And then there's, of course, one person named Tess who can bring them all together or unravel it all. So I highly recommend this series. It's perfect for fall too. Even if it's still 94 degrees where you live, this is a perfect where you turn the air down. You just scoop up your little your cozy blanket, your little barefoot dreams that you got in the Nordstrom sale, and you read these books, especially because you can get the library. So my other smooch, and I talked about this in The More You Know this week, because somebody had asked me a personal question of like, what are your pop culture hacks? And I went through a bunch that are all free and they're easy ways to get content where you don't have to pay any money. And one of them was about the Libby app and using the library for audiobooks and ebooks. And you can get, like, I went to my library today and all three of the original Shades of Magic series were ready to borrow. So this would be a really fun way for you to get kind of entrenched in a well-written, well-executed world building done by V.E. Schwab.
That's really good. I've got some books too that I wanted to marry for September. The first one is The Vaster Wilds by Lauren Groff. I fell in love with her writing on Fates and Furies from, I think it's 2015. And then she did a short story collection called Florida about stories like from Florida. That might've been 2018. Both are incredible books. This premise is not usually my cup of tea, you know, but it's Lauren Groff. So I'm going to read it anyway. And it's a servant girl, girl escapes from a colonial settlement in the wilderness. I just don't like going in the wilderness usually, even if it's magical or
even
not.
Even from a colonial settlement. Because, no. You know, the wilderness is like extra wildernessy.
Yeah, but it's like more people are more prepared to deal with it, you know, so it's not that interesting. I don't know. I'm just like, give me a good reason to go in the wilderness, not like just to like chill in the wilderness, I guess. I don't know. But she's really just got nothing. It says all she's got is like her wits, possessions, and a spark of God. And I was like, okay, that's going to be interesting later on. That feels important. Yeah. But basically it's like her will to survive. Again, that's an investment in Lauren Groff. I'm going to season past that just because she's such a good writer.
One thing about that is, you know, Lauren Groff, it got a starred public, this book got a starred Publisher's Weekly review and a starred Kirkus review. So I requested it like a couple of months ago from NetGalley. And I literally did they not leave me on read? They literally were like, no.
They just said no. Like they just said K. No.
So like, thanks what? To her publisher for not letting me have anything nice. So that's fine. But Jamie, it looked like amazing.
And she could have been like, it's amazing. I already know because I read it. But because of you guys and your stupid responses, we don't get to say that right now. So yeah,
they looked at my book request and were like, no.
Are they a wino? You know, I don't know. Do we know for sure? Nobody knows. I don't know for sure.
Is this Annie Downs publisher also? Wow. A theme.
Another book, Starter Villain. This is the premise sold me on this completely. It's a sci-fi caper slash like the story of a substitute teacher who inherits his uncle's supervillain operation. Like he just gets the keys to the kingdom. There is a volcano island lair. There are working class proletariat dolphins. There are super intelligent cats.
This cover is magical.
The cover got me. I was like, ooh, I am in on this. But it's really just kind of satire. But I'm really anything that leans that much into this is like the weird premise that I'm going to, it's so on the nose that I'm going to innovate on it. I think that's a clever way to
approach it. Computer savvy cats.
Come on.
Like, I'm into that. And this has 4.3 stars on Goodreads. Goodreads hates everything.
Yeah, they so really impressive. Do. So that I found that really helpful. And then the last one, this is begrudging, but it's one of those things like the immovable object and the irrepressible force. I'm sure I got that correct.
Science.
It's like Walter Isaacson, whenever he writes something, I'm like, biographing somebody, I got to read it.
Yeah.
But the subject, Elon Musk, and I was like, man.
Oh no.
I don't know that I want to read that. You know, I'm not that interested in Elon Musk, but I think when it's him, it's a point of reading. So I'm going to read it anyway, just because he is so insightful. And I do feel like Elon Musk, whether you like him or not, he's going to be such a pillar of our culture for the next few years or decades. So it's like, I might as well get to understand what makes him tick and why.
I wonder if Walter writes about the mushrooms. So I saw what Ronan wrote about the mushrooms.
I mean, I gotta hope he does, right? Like, I want to get more info on that. So,
I do.
And then I'll toss in this is a baby one, but I would recommend to people to marry on Mondays. Jason and I do a start, sit, cut episode. That's just kind of like Smooch, Marry, Kill, where we just recap what happened in the weekend before sports, the weekend in sports that had just occurred. And like, for example, this week we talked about I don't know. Have you guys Googled Sam Hartman, the Notre Dame quarterback?
No, I'd love to get it now.
I'd love to get an objective hotness reading on him. Aaron? Like maybe just 1 to 10. Shoot from the hip.
Oh. Hello.
I like it without. No, I like it with the beard.
Listen,
too.
It's the red. You see the red jersey one?
No, red jersey.
Find the red jersey. Yeah.
The red means in football,
that
don't
is
touch.
A good look.
The red means you can look, but don't touch. And I feel like that applies here for you
because,
too,
like,
as well.
The green jersey, I'm like, ew, that beard. But then the red jersey, I'm like, what is he sweaty?
Okay,
and he's got a lot of moles.
So give me a number. Give me a number.
On a 1 to 10?
Yeah, on a 1 to 10.
Seven.
Or 150, whatever you want to do.
Seven. With the lighting.
That's
seven
an
with
eight.
The lighting.
That's an eight.
She gave it eight.
That's an eight.
Jason is not mic'd, but he's saying probably higher than eight. He's saying, I think I'm reading his lips. He's saying 15.
He entered the portal. That's very sexual.
Yeah. Title of your sex tape. Am I right? Let me throw this. So Aaron, you're an eight. Jamie, you're seven. Now, what if I told you that he has a necklace that he wears that contains a piece of his ribs that he had removed during a surgery? Does that make that number go up?
But
down,
why did he have
it?
The ribs removed? Yeah, why did he have them removed?
Well, I don't know they had ribs removed, you pervert. Okay. Like this is like a Aerosmith situation.
A girl? Did he make a girl with it?
No, I don't. It was some, I don't know if it was a cancer, a Jace situation, but it was like a serious illness. Like he got
well,
through.
Well, now if it's cancer, Jace, I can't be like, no, that's dumb because it's cancer. People
no,
are...
you can't say it's dumb, but you can say like it does reduce the quality of hotness.
No,
that's
I don't
fair.
Like someone wearing their own bone around their neck.
Okay.
I don't like
he
that.
He kept it in his fridge before he made a necklace with it.
Yeah.
Why would he need to keep a bone in the fridge? I'm
why
not?
You just never know.
My body's 98 degrees and the bones are fine.
But maybe when you take a bone out, maybe.
Oh, is it like the marrow?
Again, Tyler's like, understand. Say boom.
I don't understand how bones
yeah. out.
I don't know how bones work.
But I that's just like, that's kind of the analysis you're going to get from us.
How old is he? He looks 41.
I think he's a 5th-year senior. He did transfer to Notre Dame because they needed a quarterback in a bad way. But he's really good at quarterback.
Notre Dame tries too hard. They're a pick me. Notre Dame's a pick me.
Ooh.
Oh, is that going to hurt somebody's feelings?
I'm trying to decide if I agree with that or not.
Notre Dame's always been a pick me.
Hey, Jason, muffin really quick.
Of armpit hair. Like a lot.
I think Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame fans are pick me fans, but Notre Dame as a university is not a pick. Jason, you're supposed to be muffed. I don't know why you act like you heard that. That's a violation, man.
Oh, that is a lot of armpit hair.
Why is it so
That's
much?
So thick
is there too
and
much
dark.
Armpit hair? I don't
it's
know. If, like
too
if,
much. It's
I don't know if I've
much.
Ever seen someone being like
it looks like a portal that he could enter and go into another college.
That's not the NCAA portal, I don't think.
Oh, and he's got a cross on his rib where he probably took the bone out.
Why is that bad? Why did you not like that? Why do you not like that he has a cross?
That confused me.
Hey, why do sometimes when football players, why do they sometimes wear their jersey like a little crop top? Why they do that?
I think it's because they want people to see the merchandise. You know,
oh, okay.
They just they want to. They want to change
the NFL, Aaron, that you can get fined if your socks aren't high enough if you show any knee.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah,
I learned that from the guy on TikTok who's his wife I follow, and he was like, every time he gets fined, his wife gets to spend the exact same amount of money at Gucci.
I like that.
Now, so Jason has efforted in the screen share and showed us that the piece of his rib was removed to prevent further blood clotting. So it was a preventative kind of
your
helpful.
Ribs keep your blood from clotting.
I don't. Why would you ask me a question like that? Like I'm supposed to know. That was
if
a
you're
snippet
a
of an article.
Scientist or nurse or doctor or chiropractor. Just kidding. Not a chiropractor. What do you know? Just kidding.
Wow. If you're a chiropractor though, you want to give us like a free adjustment at the live show, I think we'd be amenable to that.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear. Wearing my pair eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pair sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to paireyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's paireyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/popcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/popcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/popcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/popcast.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Jamie, do you want to do your kills of
yes.
September?
Okay, my first kill is hurricane season. Now, mm-hmm. I know I can't kill hurricanes because mm-hmm. that's more of a Mother Nature and her shady dealings with big oil, but right. we've got two hurricanes. We have a tropical storm and a hurricane, Idalia and Franklin. Mm-hmm. So that's super. Love that. But here's what I would really like to redo. I would like to redo the hurricane naming process. Do you know how hurricanes are named?
I don't. I was just wondering this because I don't know why they have human names. It doesn't make sense to me. And I don't know like how they decide which human names, you know?
So your tropical storm or hurricane gets a name. A tropical storm gets a name from the National Hurricane Center once it reaches the speed of 39 miles per hour. So that's okay. how you get a name. And then the first name ever used was Alice in 1953. And then for 25 years, they only use lady names because of misogyny.
Okay.
Okay. How rude is that to be like, oh, your family died? It was a lady.
Because in history, the people most responsible for disasters have always been women. That
exactly,
is just verifiably
exactly.
true. Yeah.
So this is what, so it's the World Meteorological Organization, and specific to the North Atlantic Ocean. The WMO keeps 6 lists of 21 male and female names that are used in rotation.
Okay.
And then they retire names if you're really a bad hurricane. So no more Katrinas, no more Marias, and no more Irmas. Okay. But I would like to change that. I don't like, because I get nervous. There's never been a Jamie. I looked, I couldn't find a Jamie. And I don't want there to be a Jamie because I feel like it does give a bad vibe for at least 3 or 4 years, you know? Because people are like, oh, my grandparents lost my house thanks to Hurricane Jamie. And it's like, oh.
Like the Hugos out there have been taking L's for years now because of what he did.
Exactly.
You know?
Thank you. So I would like to change the name to, so red light hurricanes, but if we are going to keep them, I would like to show, I would like for the meteorological organization to show support for the drag community by using drag names.
Okay.
And I have picked the next 5 hurricane names. You can tell me if you think these are good. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. First up is Penny. That's fantastic.
Okay.
Second, Irma. So we're going to get Irma back, but we're going to add GERD. Irma GERD.
Irma GERD. Okay. Okay.
And then we're going to do Marjorie Taylor Queen. How fun would that be if during election season it was like, are you voting for the hurricane or for the congresswoman? Then I picked Pariah Carey because great is that? And hurricanes are a pariah. And then finally, in honor of so many of our listeners, Auntie Depressant.
Okay. I really like that. I think.
Did you like Penny best?
Well, it's hard to choose a favorite, to be honest with you right now.
Right.
I would say if the idea is to name huge forces of cultural destruction after drag queens, you're going to have all the Southern senators and representatives, all the Southern state representatives and senators, they're going to be behind this. They're going to love that.
No, I don't like that. I don't want that then. How about what if we name the hurricanes after U.S. senators?
Okay. Can I yes and that? Because
please.
I liked where you were going. And I was like, well, you know, no one's going to like want to do that. But I think let's raise the stakes a little bit and the losers of the campaigns. So if you lose, you are now on the list, almost like with Hard Knocks in the NFL. Like if you suck and you have an interesting quarterback, you're in the mix to potentially be picked to be on Hard Knocks. Like you're in the pool of possibility.
Okay.
I would like anyone who loses an election race, their name is in the possibility.
So I could say like, hey, I'm sheltering in place because of Mike Pence.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going
or like, hopefully like we get a Hurricane Tommy Tuberville is really doing a number. It started strong and it came out real weak, just like his coaching.
Listen,
career.
That makes sense.
Boom.
Since he only lives in Florida and not in Alabama, the state he represents. Yeah. I haven't forgotten that you don't even live here.
I think we could be onto something there. I think that could be a possibility.
Okay. What's your kill?
I'm going to kill a movie that is coming out. And it's called The Blind. Do you guys know what this is? You have any idea what this is about? Don't look it up. Don't look it up.
Okay.
Don't look it up. Don't cheat. No cheating.
I'm not cheating.
The Blind. What do you think, Aaron and Jamie, what do you think The Blind is?
She already looked it up.
No, I didn't. I didn't push enter.
Okay. Thank you for your restraint. Thank you for your service.
I think The Blind, I'm going to make a guess.
Okay.
I think The Blind is about gambling. So it's like a blind bet, like poker.
Okay. That's good.
Okay, Upping the Blind.
That's good.
I think The Blind is a horror movie that takes place in a deer blind.
Oh God, that's
what?
I like. Ooh. Okay, can I merge those concepts? It's a horror movie and hijinks ensue after a poker game goes awry in a deer blind.
I like that.
Oh, double down the blinds.
Either of those are better than what it's actually about.
Oh no.
The slug line is long before Phil Robertson was a reality TV star, he fell in love. And started a family, but his demons threatened to tear their lives apart.
Oh, God.
This is the true story that started a dynasty.
No.
So this is the Phil Robertson
biopic. So it is
biopic.
A horror movie that takes place in a blind.
Yeah. So
we're the ones that are going to lose the bet.
The trailer is not good. It is very bad. And I think of all the real people in the world today to get the biopic treatment, Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty might not even make the top 1 million for me. You know, I think I'd rather see a biopic on like Bean Dad or Farnsworth Bentley than Phil Robertson. I don't understand like why we're getting this, but I do understand why, I guess, because like for a certain demographic of audience, this is going to be like a more chase the Notebook and they're really going to like love this. But yeah, like this, I just feel like some things in life are really simple, you know, like say it out loud or just do the eye test. Does Phil Robertson look like and act like someone who needs more scrutiny and attention or less? It feels like less, but here we are, you know, doing a movie about him, even though he looks like if the Confederate flag was a person, you know? So I don't know. I know there's people who like love Duck Dynasty and that's fine. And I think there's, I don't know. I've never been the biggest fan. I feel like he's got wild takes on the gays. And he was really...
Yeah, he doesn't think they should get to live, like, as people.
He's also told some really weird stories about how an atheist family gets brutally murdered and decapitated because they didn't believe in God. And he was like, LOL, wasn't that crazy? Anyways, thanks for this Little Caesars pizza. But, like, he also really went in on Roy Moore. He was like, this is the guy we should be building around, even though, like, he stalked teenage girls at malls and stuff.
Listen, can I read you a line from one of the producers in the press release? It says, there's a large underserved audience that deeply cares about the Robertson family.
Now, that's true. That is a true thing he's saying.
You think there's an underserved audience? They're
for
everywhere.
Movies. For movies,
we can never deal with that. Plus, by the way, it's Zach Dasher, who's one of the movie's producers, and his nephew.
Well, the head of the studio running this, his daughter was one of the writers in the movie.
Yeah.
Which who knows? Maybe that's just a coinky dink, you know? Maybe that has nothing to do with one thing or another, but I feel like it might.
Well, it is set in the Deep South in the 60s, so I'm sure there are black actors in it, right? Since there was mainly one thing going on in the 60s? No?
No, well, you think not? According to Phil Robertson, I looked this up. He said that black people in the Jim Crow South were actually pretty happy and having a good time. That was his take. That's a very spicy take.
Okay, so yeah, that's a kill. That's a kill. Thank you.
Yeah, you got to. I'm not in on like the two things. When on the pseudo documentaries, if the person's involved, I'm just not all the way there on it because I know they're going to shape the story.
Yeah,
if you're watching Untold, the Netflix series, we're seeing this in the Johnny Manziel story. We're seeing this in Swamp Kings. They're covering Florida football, and they're not even covering the top 50 most interesting things that happened in terms of illegality and criminality. They're just like slow zooming on Tim Tebow's like pectoral muscles. And they're like, I think we got it.
Why can't we have illegality?
Why can't we have both?
Well, that's the same thing with Harry and Meghan's documentary about them. Mm-hmm. The same thing about Taylor Swift and Miss Americana. We got what she wanted us to see. Like we didn't get anything juicy or real or anything that was negative about her other than anything that aligned her with being, you know, put upon.
Let's raw dog these stories, y'all. Like, let's do the documentaries right, like we're supposed to, and not like get their involvement. Who cares? Like, I don't care if I get, I mean, The Last Dance is a bad example because I needed Michael Jordan's like reaction faces and stuff. But other than that, I just don't care like what Johnny Manziel has to say. I want the stories in the dirt. So that's mine. What else you got for September?
Okay, my last kill for September is, of course, we're all thinking it, the color orange. Look, orange starts to rise up again because we're back into the burr months, and the burr months freaking love orange. But here's the thing, guys, orange brings out the dead in your eyes. It's not even the best fruit, or it's not even the best citrus. Orange is not the best citrus.
Lemons what is the limes, best citrus?
Lemons and limes are far superior in every way. Okay.
Yeah, probably so.
When folks are asked on Reddit to rank the colors, orange is always last, except for some user named Cervix Destroyer, who picked it because his mom lives upstairs and it's her favorite color. You know what I mean?
And then I like that we're polling Reddit for like, what's the vibe, guys? We trust this group.
Sometimes I need science and I find it in Reddit. Also, there was a survey done by Harris Interactive where they interviewed 2,000 hiring managers. And they said, according to the survey, orange topped the list of the worst color to wear on a job interview.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
So I just think we should be done with orange. Like, just as a general rule, we've got a beautiful burgundy. We've got a beautiful forest green. Uh-huh. We've got a mustard yellow. I just don't think we need the orange jumping in.
Okay. Well, that is our conversation on the Smooch, Marys, and Kills of September. If you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions or the Annie Wino thing, if you just like...
has some intel, we are journalism.
Journalisming. Yeah, we are.
You can send it to AnnieFDowns@knoxandjamie.com.
I don't know how inappropriate this is or is not. Is it obviously funny? Or
either
is
Annie's going to love it or she will unfollow us all.
Gah, man. Yeah. Well, either way, that's knoxandjamie.com/520. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Well, I do want to give just a hat tip to Governor Bob Baca, who did finally die. Mm. He was 99 years old. It was hard to predict, but I did call that he would die this year. Mm-hmm. And so I am very proud of that prediction.
Did you say it was hard to predict?
No, I was saying it wasn't hard to predict.
Okay, gotcha.
I probably did say it was hard to predict, but yeah, it was not. But I really want to talk about Scooter Braun, who, by the way, I've given him a drag name, a Cooter Braun. That is a great drag name. So if y'all don't know, Scooter Braun is a talent manager. He manages musicians like Justin Bieber, Kanye West, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, J Balvin, Idina Menzel, which Idina Menzel, good for you getting on that list. Like, truly, that's amazing. And he probably is most well known for the fact that he had purchased Big Machine Records, who owned all of Taylor Swift's masters, and then he sold them off. And that made Taylor very mad. And so, but this past week, all these like different days, all of his roster started announcing that they were no longer represented by Scooter Braun, mm-hmm, which was weird. Like, now when you start
in mass, it was weird
in mass. And then Matt Bell and I, who we really like as a journalist who does a lot of reporting on Hollywood and culture and usually is pretty on spot, he has a podcast called The Town. And he said that Justin Bieber and Scooter weren't even really speaking, that he has been looking for a new manager, that they've moved on. Scooter Braun's publicist, Stephanie Jones, famously plants stories in all tabloids, TMZ, Page Six, New York Post. And she had planted stories like, no, he's fine. Everything's fine. Nothing's, so they left. He's not interested in management anymore.
People don't talk for multiple years, and that's normal.
That's exactly right. But the weird thing was, see, I think, and there, we don't know, like as a time of recording, we do not know what has really gone on because there's not clear evidence. Now, you know, famously, he did face a $200 million lawsuit in 2021 over allegations of fraud, and he is currently not facing any federal charges. But to me, this smells like somebody got a knock on their door while they were smooching and kissing on SpongeBob, and Ariana went to the door and was like, oh, this is the feds asking me some questions about my manager, and that makes me nervous. So I have no proof of that, but sure. I just think, why do all of them leave at the same time?
Yeah, and like they're not gone though, because like Idina Menzel like left months ago, and
right,
now,
but never
like,
announced
Bieber,
it.
Yeah, and like Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande, like she can't leave until like she's got to negotiate her. So it's like the timing is weird. You know,
it's weird. And Demi Lovato is putting out an album like called, I think it's Revamp, that comes out in September. That's just a revamp of some of their songs, and so I get that they are wanting to go more rock, and so. You know, I understand they want to leave Scooter behind possibly,
sure,
but that's weird. And also, but listen, I don't think anybody should worry. You know, Insider did a profile of him in 2022 where a source said he is one of the most cutthroat people in the business, which I don't doubt that. But I also don't think he's doing day-to-day management of people.
That was my thing. I thought he sold his company for like $1 billion.
I don't think
I'd want to take like Justin's lunch order. And be like, let's make sure his hotel's ready for him, you know?
Exactly. And he bought a house from Ellen DeGeneres last year for $36 million down the road from Oprah. I just don't think he is interested in helping anybody figure out their touring situation. Do you know what I mean? So, but red light to you, because here's the red light, really. It's now I'm never going to get rid of that stupid song, Vigilante Shit, from Taylor Swift, because... Yeah. She's, you know, the one where she thinks she's sexy and says, someone told his white collar crimes to the FBI. Like, I'm like, no, that song will never die. It'll never die.
Yeah, I've never heard it, but I'll take your word for it.
Thank you.
I support this.
I know. What's your red light?
My red light? Okay, this is, I'm squatting on a red light. Okay. Like I'm trying it out.
Like pooping on it.
Nope. I'm like seeing how it works. Like, what do I think about this? You know?
Got it.
I'm temporary residency here. Maybe I'll turn this into like, I live here now, but I'm not sure. I'm glad that you guys are here to help me like work this out. Church services. Is there too much worship? Have we reached peak music worship at church services? I know this is probably going to come off like a like high church take, and I'm not coming after like worship pastors or anything, but part of me wonders if we just need to innovate on church service a little bit so we can have like more access to the head stuff versus the heart stuff. Because our service Friday or Sunday was 45 minutes of worship. Now in two different spots, you know, front end, back end, you know, but it was a lot at the front. It was like 30 minutes.
Yeah. You're not going to do 15 at the end.
I mean, well, you know, they kind of did.
Oh,
they kind of did.
No.
Yeah. It was not a tight 30. It was 30 minutes of preaching. And then 15 of worship at the end. There was like 10 minutes of baptism before the worship at the front end. So I really explained that in the most confusing way possible. But all that said, the 40 to 45 minutes is pretty consistent. And it's not just them. Like, they're not the only ones. And I know this sounds very Baptist-y probably, because Pentecostals are like, only 45 minutes or whatever?
True,
what are you talking
fair.
About? True. That's just a warm-up.
But the Catholics are like, what are you even talking about? Tim, more than 10 minutes? Yeah.
Yeah. Is that an old man screams from his yard?
No, that's too long. That's a solid. I think if you're going to do 45 split, I really think you need to do 35 split. 10 at the back, 25 at the top. I still think that's too long. I think should be an hour. We have access to better worship music than most of the people performing it in church anyway. It's in our...
Thank you.
I've got Maverick City on my phone. I don't need... You know what I mean?
I'm coming here to hear a... It feels like the Sunday sermon is the big event of the church calendar. So I want to hear the hot takes. And when it's so much worship, like I'm not even getting the message from the big guy, you know?
Can't God speak through the music?
Yeah, I think he can, but it's like, I don't even know who this person is. I don't even know her or him. They're not even on staff. And it's like, but if they're taking up this much time, why aren't we paying them? Should we be paying them? If they're carrying the load of the service, probably.
Oh, no, they should be paid. Are you saying that some of your people aren't paid to be on?
Oh, actually, I was assuming they weren't. I have no idea if they are.
But sometimes it's only like the worship leader. Everybody else, that's their cert. Like, that's how they serve. Like, some people work in the nursery, and some people help park cars, and some people play bass guitar.
Yeah, but it was just like, if we did a live show, and it was 2 hours of Jason and Aaron and other people, and then we came out for 15 and like did a great 15, great 15, but that was it. And we kept everything. Would that feel weird? I feel like it would.
No, it would feel weird. Yeah. So this is really a pastor issue. This isn't a worship pastor issue. This is a pastor issue.
It's not even specific to the pastor. Like, the pastor does a great job. Like, I really like the conciseness of his message. But it just felt like overall, and it's not just this church. Like, it's been a few places we've visited. Just me looking around being like, is there too much worshiping going on right now? There's too much singing right now.
And I think it also matters how many songs are in that 30 minutes. If it's 5 songs, okay. But if it's 3 songs, no.
It's too long. That's too much lingering.
It's too long.
That's,
There's not enough energy in that bridge to keep going.
Aaron, what's the church worship situation of yours? Like, how long are we talking?
Well, okay, this is actually really great, because what we do is there's a service. There's a contemporary service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Sunday school. And then,
ooh, old school.
And then, well, they call it connect groups. But then there's a traditional service. So no matter what, the contemporary service has to be done at 10 o'clock.
Smart.
Oh, that is smart.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Jamie, do you want to talk about, we actually have a mutual green light this week.
We have a rare mutual green light this week. So it is a brand new book that just came out called The Cook's Book by Bree McCoy. Bree McCoy, who is a friend of the show, but I want to be upfront on the top. This is not an ad. She does not know we're talking about her. And I pay cash money for her book. Cash money for her book. So Brie, here's what I love about Brie. Brie, her whole personality was not knowing how to cook, like kind of like me. And then she said she got married and they kept running out of money because they would eat takeout a lot. And so she said, so her and her husband, Jeremy, who's in the Air Force, he was like, well, we'll learn to cook. We can learn to cook. And so he learned to cook, and I've eaten food made by Jeremy and Brie, and it's amazing. But she said, I went and bought a cookbook called Cooking Light because I thought that would be lighter cooking. Like, it wouldn't be as heavy a load. And she goes, I found out that's not what that meant. So she kind of became an expert just on her own, becoming a home cook. And so this book, what I love about it is, because sometimes you get a cookbook and you're like, oh, there's only 3 pictures. And then there's no, I'm like, I don't know what the food's supposed to look like.
Yeah, there's
and
it's 18 stories about her childhood, but no recipes somehow.
Thank you. And this is the perfect bit, because it's not only recipes. So like, it has fantastic, I made the sheet pan nachos last night and they were dope. But it also has lots of techniques, lessons. She explains salt. Who understands salt? I just understand. Like, she explains how to stock your pantry, what kind of knives, the best knives. I have the best knives because of Brie, because she recommended them. She explains how to make a perfect side dish, how to stock a basic bar cart, like if people are coming over, and how to flavor, layer, she does wine pairings for everything. And listen, this is why I love this book. One, it's beautiful. It's just going to be really pretty in your house because they spent some cash on it. You know what I mean? But also, she has extended her pre-order bonus. So if you bought the book, it's already out. But this week, if you order and then go on our website, like Brie McCoy, which no relation to Knox,
That's right.
Because it's spelled different.
Yeah.
So she's McCoy with a K. And so if you go to her website, Brie McCoy, we'll include a link in the show notes, you can get like all these extra bonuses, which I also got because I proved that I paid for the book. And so it's like the snack. It's like dips, snacks, appetizers, sides, all kinds of cozy dishes, sauces, all kinds of sauces to add. She does an egg guide, which Erin will freaking love because she includes a medium boiled egg.
I already have it and I've already tried it and it is amazing.
It is amazing. And then she even is going to do a live cooking class in September, which I would say is a smooch of September.
Yep.
If you get the book and you can grab it. And so I tell you about this because listen, sometimes we have friends who write books and you're like, oh my God, we love them. But we don't always green light their book because we really do. We're very particular about our green lights. But this one is a keeper. It is such a well done book and it feels accessible to someone like me who is not really gifted in the kitchen at all. It feels like I'm learning and knowing. And instead of just following a recipe, I'm learning how to cook, which is great.
Yeah. And I think my favorite books, especially from friends, are the ones where it feels like they poured themselves into it and they didn't just like hit a word count, hit publish and like hope the sales come in. Like you can tell this is really her book through and through. Like you covered her approach and everything. And I think that's, you know, there are certain books for certain people. I'm not always the best audience for the more flowery, more, I don't know, navel-gazy books about cooking.
Sure.
This is just a very easy, accessible, rational, you might be a dum-dum, but let me show you how to be a dum-dum who cooks well. And I think to just Brie herself couldn't be a more lovely person in real life. And
truly.
I think her, you know, not that she has a persona online, but who she appears to be is actually who she really is. Just a wonderful, 100%. Tremendously likable and engaging, lovely person to be around. So you couldn't want more good things to happen to Brie. And luckily, we have a book that is absolutely tremendous. So we can merge those two things. A great person who wrote a great book instead of a great person who wrote an AMF book, you know, that would be more awkward.
Well, and listen, it's not just us. Publishers Weekly, which is very stingy with their starred reviews, they gave it a starred review. Like,
look at that.
I know. I thought it was so nice. It says, the result is an excellent resource that budding home cooks will turn to time and time again. So we highly recommend it.
That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And guys, remember before you go, anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/the podcast first. So your purchase user affiliate link, a fair item purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a TI-36X calculator.
Okay, listen, this has 4.8 stars, 20,000 ratings. This is a beloved calculator. And look, Amazon has changed it so you can't just automatically go look at the questions because they know how chaotic that question section is. And so now you have to like search for something in a question. So I just put a question mark up and they all come up. So I've hacked the system. But look, these are my favorite questions. First, does it have a dedicated button for English metric conversions? Customer wrote, I can't answer this question because this calculator was a gift I bought for somebody else. Why are you here?
Why were you even lingering here to answer that?
And then what warranty comes with the TI-36 Pro? Garbadine wrote, I do not know, signed Garbadine. And then my favorite answer, Terry Meredith was in a mood. And so the first question Terry Meredith answered was, carrying the calculator to school and work, I often have a problem with taking off and putting on the protective cover. What should I do? Terry answered, sorry, no answer. And then the question was, is it RPN input? And Terry wrote, probably. Again, so helpful, Terry. Thank you so much. All right, you guys, don't forget, we have a live show in Austin. We would love for you to be in the room where it happens. But if you can't, we would also love for you to get the live stream. You can use code BIRTHDAY on live show tickets at the ACL at ACL Live, the Moody Theater. Or you can use code FARTDADDY for a live stream ticket. The links are in the show notes. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Nice Koi. You can find me on the socials at Nice Koi. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.